My guest at this time is Horace Cooper. He's an attorney and the co-chair of Project 21. It's a coalition of black conservatives that's a project of the National Center for Public Policy Research. He joins me now to offer his reaction to the stunning developments on Monday at the University of Missouri, in which the president resigned and the chancellor announced he would leave at the end of the academic year in response to student protests, accusing the administration of not doing enough in response to alleged racial incidents. And Horace, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program. I tell you, this is a very important topic that we're discussing today.
Well, let's start with, first of all, the administration's decision, and I guess the top two officials, the president and the chancellor, to give in to the demands of the protesters and step down, thinking that will provide healing on campus. What did you make of that?
This isn't going to provide healing. This is appeasement. And in fact, what we've witnessed is a racial totalitarian hostage taking. We have watched folks who are making demands based on unreasonable offenses that they have identified, and that is predicated on a lie, the Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot story. Those combine with the reality. The president of the university is no more responsible for any perceived slights or real and unfair injustices that any students have committed any more than President Obama is responsible for what happened with the shooting that took place in Charleston. It happened on both their watches. It's their responsibility to see to it that the school life and experience is a positive one. The president of the United States' chief responsibility is to provide for our safety and security. What we don't say is when other people do things that other people shouldn't do, we identify them and we hold them accountable. That's not what happened here.
Horace, there are a couple of alleged incidents, of course, the drunk student yelling at the group of black students and alleged epithets. And there was alleged swastika in feces on a bathroom wall or mirror at some point on campus. Do you believe that the administration had made any statement, even a general statement in reaction to that, that the narrative on this campus would be much different?
Absolutely not. I think this was something that was just waiting to happen. Opportunists were involved. And let me start with, there's some concerns that I have about how this whole thing went down. The coaches in the athletic department should have been the first ones to say to the students, this isn't the right way, this isn't the right approach. They would have the respect, the regard, and the leadership role to do that. But they chose not to. In fact, they went the other direction. And then faculty members at the university did the same thing. And I say that because the university is supposed to be a place. It's not just where you get your education. It's not just what equips you for the skill for the future. It conceptually is the kind of place where you first are exposed to this idea. You are going to, in life, be exposed to concepts, thoughts, and opinions that you do not like and that you do not prefer and that offend you. And you learn to either accommodate to those offenses, offer counter arguments, etc. The coaches didn't encourage them to do this, and neither did the faculty members. And this entire fiasco tells us everything about how the modern university is no longer living up to its responsibilities. There is no reason for folks to act like 2015 Missouri is the same as 1950 Missouri.
What does this tell us about the success, or at least the influence, of movements like Black Lives Matter and this group on campus?
By now, most Americans know that it's a fraud, the Black Lives Matter mantra, that there was no such thing as the hands up, don't shoot experience. But what a lot of folks don't know, and that's because the media didn't do its job, and neither have other leaders. When the demands that were put forward occurred, they have a litany of them, many of them outrageous, but several of them just out and out racist. A lot of folks haven't focused in on the fact that in the name of tolerance, in the name of diversity, one of the demands is that the new president be selected by a racial minority commission. Now, if I set up a presidential selection committee and I said that the committee had to be dominated by whites, everyone would get that's inappropriate, that's wrong. And they set up on one of their other demands is that we have to change the atmosphere on the campus. And the only way to do that is a group made up of students, faculty members, and outside community members, most of whom are just agitators. And the committee has to have a racial minority as the majority. If I told you that we're going to set up a commission to make sure that people are happy and feel welcomed on the campus, but we got a guarantee that it had a white majority, everyone would be outraged. Yet that's what's going on here. It's inappropriate. It is counter to the narrative of what a real university experience is supposed to be about. And a lot of folks, including the coaches and the faculty members, failed to handle their responsibilities, and the mainstream media didn't call them out on it.
There seems to be some conflicting logic, as you may have noticed in the protesters, Horace, and that is, in the beginning, they wanted a lot of media attention. They wanted what they considered equal time in this debate. And then once they got what they wanted, they physically forced student reporters and other media away from them, including a media professor, saying that she wanted some muscle to get the folks back so there could be privacy in this protest circle. So what do you make of the arguments being made here?
Privacy in the protest circle. That's as ludicrous on its face as you can imagine. And they are operating far more like the Black Panthers than they are any kind of student group. And by the way, let me just remind people of some facts. The University of Missouri has increased the number of minorities over the last 3 years of the Wolf tenure. The University of Missouri has increased the number of graduates under his 3 years. And they've increased the number of and amounts of scholarships that they're providing to minorities. And to add more information, the very first person to offer a complaint about the racial hostility of the campus was the student government president, a minority, a Black person, who was selected by all of the other students. This is not the way racism and bigotry and isolation work.
Horace, what happens next? Do you believe that if there are problems on other campuses, we'll see more accommodation? Or do you think that other administrations will see what happened at Missouri and go in the direction you suggested that this administration should have?
Well, this is a wake-up call. For me, if I were the next president of the University of Missouri, I would make sure that this cancer stops where it is. And it would start with telling the athletic department leadership team that when their contracts are over, they're not going to be renewed under any circumstances, and they might as well start looking for a job now. Secondly, I would issue a memorandum to all faculty members that there is now a new requirement before you can get tenure. You are going to have to show a commitment to tolerance, to the idea that people can have different perspectives and views, and examples of presenting that to young minds. What we have witnessed is the opposite of that, and if this cancer isn't cut off now, it is only going to metastasize, and that is terrible for America.
When it comes to the money, though, obviously the football team threatening to boycott remaining games was a potential financial hit to the university, and in those situations, the Board of Trustees gets a little nervous, obviously. So how much of a factor was that, and how do you stop that from being a trump card going forward at other major schools?
Here is the right answer. You say to the student, our students, you signed an agreement that you would accept a scholarship to attend here predicated on you playing. If you're refusing to play, then you're going to have to be responsible for all of the financial costs of attending here. Secondly, actually, we recruited a backup player for every person in the event of an injury, and we're going to go to the next game, and we're going to play without you. We might lose, but we're going to play without you because you don't make the demands. We give you this opportunity to show leadership, to learn self-discipline, etc. Now, that's what a leader would have been capable of doing, and the failure, as I said, is why first out of the box would be a non-renewal hire policy for all of those in the student athletics department. They failed on the job, and every professor that joined in and validated their behavior helped to make this problem worse than it was. I trust you, after a couple of hours of thinking about it, most, if not all, of those students would have been back on the field.
Horace, we'll be watching to see what happens in Columbia, Missouri, as well as in other campuses around the country. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Horace Cooper is co-chair of Project 21, the Coalition of Black Conservatives, which is a project of the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.